everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. The first Monday of December upon us. It's the fifth day of December 2022. We'll be celebrating at the end of this month 12 full years on the radio already, and then we'll be ready to launch into Lucky 13. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the... Yeah, John, we'll keep our fingers crossed, right, when we say that. Buckmaster Show broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, when we do our telephone interviews, which one of them will be coming up in a few moments, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. We've got two of them in our bathrooms at home. I look at them every morning and say, they are really beautiful. Art for your walls. It's got a great art gallery. They do, of course, picture framing. That's kind of their signature. And if you don't want to, like, hang all the stuff that Mo has done for you, he'll come out to the house, put it where you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. For our face-off commentators today, one in studio and one on the live line. Let's go first on the live line. Chris Ackerley, former state lawmaker and physics and math teacher, now deputy treasurer of Pima County. Chris, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. And Dr. Don Jorgensen with me in studio, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how was your weekend? You had a great birthday weekend.
We did. A wet one, but a great one.
Yeah. I don't mind the wet weather.
Oh, it is so nice. As I tell people from outside of Tucson, when we get rain like this, we consider it entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's such a change and so nice.
Yeah. But, to have it hang on a couple of days. What about you, Chris? What'd you do this weekend?
When was the last time it was rainy and overcast for 3 days in a row? I'm searching my memory. I cannot remember for many, many years it having been that. I mean, we get rain, but, you know, never 3 days in a row.
Being a weather hobbyist, as Arizona Daily Star columnist Tim Stellar calls me, a weather hobbyist, you've got me there, Chris. I don't know. I'd say it's been a while. It's been a few years since a three-day kind of overcast Seattle-type weather, very typical of the Northwest. I think you got me there, Chris. All right. Should the two Pima County, Cochise County Republicans, Don Jorgensen, should they be punished in some way for delaying the official vote canvass, missing the deadline to certify? They did eventually certify the election in Cochise County, but the state elections director says, you know, we need to do some kind of an investigation. They really shouldn't be allowed to have gotten away with this.
Well, certainly an investigation is warranted because, by all indications, they did violate their oath of office by not showing up and voting on that certification. And folks have said, well, what's the point then? Is it just a rubber stamp? And the fact is, there are exceptions under which a supervisor can vote no, but none of those applied in this case. There was no evidence that they could point to. And to look at the two of them, one of them, Peggy Judge, she did show up and finally vote for it, so that would probably perhaps make it easier for her, whereas the other...
Tom Crosby.
Yeah, Crosby, the other Republican supervisor, didn't even show up.
No.
That's cowardice. Mm-hmm. And he certainly, if he had any decency, should resign. But I don't see that happening. I don't know what the state can do in terms of that kind of investigation. It may still reside within the county. There was talk in one of the opinion columns about a recall, and I think it may be appropriate to leave it to the voters in Cochise County to make that determination, because here they have two supervisors allegedly representing them that aren't following the law. And here's an aside, and I'd like to hear from Chris about this. The same thing happened in Pima County. Steve Christie, the Pima County supervisor, the only Republican at the time, did not vote to certify the election.
Mm-hmm.
Same issue. He violated the mm-hmm. law in his oath of office. Mm-hmm. And so you could apply the same question here in Pima County.
What do you think, Chris? It's kind of embarrassing, because that count there, if they had decided not to certify it, Juan Ciscomani would have lost, and Tom Horn would probably have lost the statewide school superintendent.
Well, I think that the speculation gets, I mean, at the end of the day, both counties did certify the election. But the supervisors, in particularly in Cochise County, were, one, frustrated that that they weren't able to actually investigate the integrity of their election like they wanted to do, and you know, you can argue the points of the law and whatnot there, but at the end of the day, they wanted to ensure that they wanted to do more than was required to ensure that their election integrity. And at the end of the day, what they were took issue with was not actually the vote in Cochise County, but the issue that surrounds the vote in Maricopa County. And at the end of the day, this is a question that we have to ask, because given the dynamics of the election, is it reasonable to assume that, particularly in the case of Attorney General, that had elections gone smoothly in Maricopa County, would more than 700 of people who showed up to the polls that vote and got discouraged by the issues or the long lines and turned themselves away, would it have made a difference in a race? Is that reasonable to assume? And I think the answer is yes. And so the question really is, who is going to hold Maricopa County Elections Department accountable for the issues that they have created? And that question hasn't been answered. And I don't know that there is a current recourse, but we have to get to a position where elections run smoother in Arizona.
Well, again, this is how the Republicans are casting doubt on any election they lose, because we have had this same issue running now since the 2020 election, since the massive number of lawsuits that were filed on this same question and the same argument that Chris is making, that something's wrong with the counting, with the machines, with the voting, et cetera. All the investigations have proven that to be false, that there were no impacts on the voting or on the actual votes. The same thing happened. Oh, hold on. Let me finish. Not that impacted the vote or the final count at all. You're never going to have a perfect election, but there was never any question that the vote totals were accurate of those that voted. There were never any question of illegal activities occurring. None of that occurred, despite the 60-some lawsuits and despite the lawsuits that were filed this year after the elections, and not by, I believe, Lake and Hamaday. Not only were those thrown out by the judge, the lawyers, including, I think, Rudy Giuliani, were sanctioned because it was such a frivolous lawsuit. And this is what we're hearing again and again, Republicans throwing anything they can against the wall to impugn the reputations, the work of the election workers, of the outcomes of these elections, none of which have been proven to be true.
All right, Chris Ackerley.
Yeah, I don't think we do the process a disservice to say nothing to see here, everybody just move along.
Which did not happen.
There were actual problems in Maricopa County during elections. Now, is the statement accurate that everybody who wanted to vote was allowed to vote? Possibly. But the point being is, is that given the delays that got caused by the fact that the scanners and the printers didn't work, created tremendous wait times, and is it reasonable to assume that 750 people over the across Maricopa County gave up and didn't vote? Now, I imagine that if the shoe was on the other foot and the dynamics in that situation had not favored the Democratic side, that we would hear shouting from all sorts of places about disenfranchisement. But we have to improve the way we conduct elections in Arizona.
All right, we're going to pause right here to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, something that both Chris Ackerley and Don Jorgensen and me, Bill Buckmaster, agree on. We love Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Think about a Kringle for Christmas morning. Think about a Kringle for Christmas Eve. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We had a great lunch up at Mona's yesterday. Open-faced sandwich was delicious. People think about Mona's, Don, as a kind of, you know, breakfast, but it's sure. They have a great breakfast. They open at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 on Sunday morning, but the lunches are great too.
Oh, they have a great smoked salmon plate. That's my favorite that time too.
Excellent.
You know, any of their food is good anytime.
There you
I'll
go.
Say that.
Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Steve, the owner, told me yesterday, Bill, tell everybody we've got that revamped website looking really good, so check it out. We'll take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust green things. A family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com. Coming up at 12:30 or so, our border report with Keith Rosenblum, and it will be pretty much talking exclusively about the death of longtime Tucson Congressman Jim Colby, who died over the weekend at the age of 80 from a stroke. Keith knew Jim Colby very well because he served as his staffer here in Tucson for several years, and we'll be really getting into a deep dive about Jim Colby, but why don't we talk a little bit about that with our two face-off commentators today, Dr. Don Jorgensen and Chris Ackerley. Chris on the live line. Chris, did you know Congressman Colby at all?
Only in passing. In political circles, but only had occasion to meet him once or twice.
How about you, Don?
I did. I was fortunate to meet him on several occasions, and back in the 80s, I ran a nonprofit in town, the Tucson Council on Alcoholism, Drug Dependence. And so I had the chance to talk with him and work with him a little bit on mental health parity legislation in Congress. And again, I had the same experience that everyone has had and read about. He couldn't have been a more gracious, intelligent, personable individual. Someone said he was a congressman out of central casting.
Yeah.
And you could believe that when you saw him and when you spoke with them. And again, he was a Tucson treasure, and he'll be missed by folks on both sides of the aisle.
He was so accessible. I know I had him on many times on my television show on Arizona Illustrated when that program was a live nightly program on Channel 6.
And, classic.
And he was always very available. And Chris and Don, he's a guy that worked both sides of the aisle. And I kind of wonder, Chris, if we'll see the likes of that again.
Oh, I imagine that we will.
Ever the optimist, Chris Ackerley.
Ever the optimist.
Yeah.
Well, I worked with everybody that I could in the legislature when I served, and I remain optimistic that we can return to a more civilized time.
And we may have to work. Both sides may have to work together up at the legislature, Don Jorgensen, with a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature.
True. And I will say, if we had more Republican legislatures like Chris up there, who was willing to be civil, and he acted civil and worked with both sides to get things done and to represent Pima County, the state would be in much better shape. Unfortunately, as he knows, too many Republican moderates have been driven out of their party, and that's a shame. So I hope he's right, that party rights itself at some point, because it'd be better for all of Arizona to have a legislature that works together. We have a governor now, or governor-elect, who is going to be focused on issues that concern all Arizonans with regard to education and water and keeping the economy strong, and she needs folks who are willing to take those issues seriously and move ahead together.
Hey, Chris Ackerley, Shelley Kice in her daily, not daily, don't want to put any extra work on you there, Shelley.
No, please don't.
Her weekly newsletter that went out, interesting about how did Republicans do in Pima County. When it came to governor and secretary of state compared with 4 years ago, 2018, a lot less voted in that. Some just saying, many saying they didn't want to vote for governor or secretary of state.
Yeah, so interesting that when you look at the races outside of governor, the Pima County, as far as Republicans go, performed pretty much like it had in 18. And as you noted, that the one that was different, obviously, was the governor's race. I don't know that that necessarily would have made a difference at the statewide, but there was definitely a lot of Republicans who voted for Republican candidates for other offices, but then either left the governor's blank or perhaps voted for another candidate.
And Don, we should tell the listeners that in 2018, Republicans 47.45% voted in the governor's race. In 2022, it was 39.4. So that is a substantial margin. Secretary of State was a couple of percentage points down, but certainly when it came to governor, I think it may point out that people, well, it doesn't take a lot to figure it out. A lot of Republicans didn't like Carrie Lake.
Very true. The numbers speak for themselves in that sense. When you look at the turnout, which was high for both parties and unusually high for a midterm, we know that. But the turnout was also unusually high for independents. And one of the differences this year among all the parties, but particularly independents, is the increase in younger age voters, the increase in women voters, and certainly the increase in minority voters, different from previous midterms. And independents went strongly to the Democratic side this time, and I think in part because of the extreme candidates that you just mentioned on the right. But it shows that Arizona is still a purple state. And when I say that, you can see we have state elected officials now on both sides. You have very close races all across the board. And so it tells you very clearly when both parties have turnout, again, it's decided by the folks in the middle or on the fringes, because independents aren't all in the middle. They're all over the place. But the appeal has to go beyond one party. And that's what the extreme right failed to recognize this year, and it cost them. And the folks on the far left need to pay attention to that as well, so they don't fall into the same trap.
Chris Ackerley, State Treasurer Kimberly Yee, really scored well. And some have said, Lori Roberts, writing in The Republic, says that Kimberly Yee would have been a better choice, given that she's a woman, a member of a minority group, and, well, the only Arizona Republican to breeze to a win in big races this year. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't get into the whole identity politics sort of stuff, so I think it's should be about the candidate on their merits. But her race points something out, and that is she did win substantially. And so if you don't involve the national politics as a key feature of the race, then Arizonans act like Arizonans. And that gives me some encouragement for the future. And we saw it in Pima County as well. When you look at the fact that the statewide Republican candidates, by and large, Kimberly Yee being a little bit higher, but the other statewide candidates, not governor and secretary of state, got about 40% of the vote. And Republicans only represent 28%, a little less than that, actually, 28% of the registered voters in Pima County. So we, the Republicans in Pima County outperformed their registration considerably.
Well, that's true. It's also true for Democrats on the same side. So since we're saying the same thing, and it does come down to who the candidate is, you could do a whole nother show on the psychology of voters, particularly the psychology of independent voters, who will tend in a race like this to go down. And as they you saw at the top of the ticket, they looked at the extremist candidates on the right and said, no, we'll vote for the Democrats. We'll vote for Hobbs and voted for Adrian Fontes and voted for Chris Mays. But then independents, as independents, don't want to vote a straight party ticket.
No.
So they'll look for, well, who can I vote for that's acceptable?
They'll cherry pick.
Exactly. And I think we saw a lot of that, as we always do, too. But it's the message is the same. I think Chris and I are sharing the same message, that none of the elected officials in the future, none of the candidates, can take the voters for granted.
No, they can't. All right, Chris Ackerley, wish you well. I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season. Thanks, Chris.
You too.
And Don Jorgensen, thank you very much. As always, appreciate everything you do.
Well, Bill, thank you as always for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas and New Year, too.
Thank you very much.
And same to you, Chris.
Belated happy birthday to you, too, Don. Happy birthday. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. And at moesgallery.com, presenting our Monday political face-off. We'll be right back.
Dine-in or take-out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things really gearing up now for the holidays. How about some poinsettias to brighten up your holidays and really give a nice holiday flavor to your home? Well, they've got plenty of them. Thousands of them were grown at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, in business since 1970. That's by my calculation. 52 years. They are open daily. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, their sister business, some great holiday items at zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Let's go now on the live line. Keith Rosenblum with our monthly border report. Keith, today I think our border report will pretty much focus on former Tucson Congressman Jim Colby, who died at the age of 80 over the weekend of a stroke. You served with Congressman Colby in his office. You were a staffer in the 1990s, I believe. Some of your thoughts, Keith. First of all, great to have you back with us.
Thanks. And actually, I got to serve with him in two centuries because it was 99 to 2001.
Okay.
Anyway, I think that Jim believed growing up, Jim believed as a state legislator and as a federal legislator that people should trade. And it was such a simple concept. And Jim didn't believe in using trade to your advantage or disadvantage. He just figured that if you made product A in one place and you could buy something product B, and you should trade. And as simple as it sounds, and as, you know, Milton Friedman, free market-esque as that might sound, that was not popular. It's never been. It was popular when this country was at its origins, but it wasn't popular when Bill Clinton needed to get the votes in the Congress to get the first NAFTA. Well, actually, there's only one NAFTA, but to get NAFTA moving. And so Jim was President Clinton's, and then, of course, President Salinas de Gortari's contact among the Republicans. It's funny because the Republicans were always considered to be the party of free trade. There's been any number of reversals and swaying of the Republicans according to the day and age. And that was especially true during the Trump era, where the party that stood for A for in its whole history now stood for B or C or now boycotted it. Republicans were also the party of open or close to open immigration, and in many ways became the reverse. So anyway, they go to Jim in the House, and Jim was able to do a lot of the heavy lifting to bring people who were from districts, because this didn't break down really as much as a Republican Democrat issue as it did a state by state issue. So the people who were in auto markets in, you know, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, the Middle West, whether you were Democrat or Republican, your constituents were in the auto industry, and there was a lot of fear that jobs would all flee. There was Ross Perot, who was saying we'd have the great sucking sound of jobs going south. And Jim was able to help get NAFTA through. And so when President Clinton comes to Tucson, I don't remember exactly when it was, Jim flew on Air Force One at that time and was the hero to the free trade world, to the automotive industry, to a lot of people. And that's what he stood for. And it wasn't just with Mexico. That was a way of life for Jim, was you should be able to trade. And that came from his undergraduate work at Northwestern University. It came from his MBA at Stanford. It came from working having a family. I don't know how active Jim was in it, but having a ranch. And that was it was a philosophy. And it wasn't politically convenient or inconvenient. It was just the way that the man felt. And so, when Jim represented a district that has always been a divided district, an unusual one for Arizona, where it could go back and forth. The constituents were not a clear one group of people. And so there were lots of decisions that I think Jim made that were where he voted the district. Here's what the district is going to benefit the district. Here's what's good for it. There were some that were to his political expediency, where he said, if I don't vote this way, I'm going to be ostracized by the party in D.C., and I'll also be rejected by the voters in my district. And there were some that were just of conscience, and that I don't care what the district thinks. This is the way I'm going to vote because this is who I am. And so we all have, lots of us who worked for him have fond memories. I'm not going to wax eloquent about someone. Jim had was a flawed man in a million ways. Who's not? And so I tried to maintain the reporter's objectivity about a guy that I was very close to, but yet I also saw as being sometimes in conflict with himself, sometimes with the district, sometimes with life itself. And did he make a difference in everybody's life here in Tucson? He sure did. And I challenge you to find me somebody who's one or two or three degrees away from you who didn't invite Jim Colby to a baptism,
yeah,
bar mitzvah, a quinceañera.
Right.
He showed at every single event there was.
He did.
And
he really did.
To everybody in Tucson.
Did. I don't know how he did it. You know, he is the architect of the North American Free Trade Agreement, and you would think that that would have merited some national coverage. I mean, certainly deserving of that, and I was surprised that the national media, maybe you had seen some stories in the national media. I didn't see anybody that had really picked up on that. Had you?
No, and I think time, what is it, the Linda Ronstadt song about time washes clean all wounds unseen. I think that trade right now is just simply we take for granted what it took to get over the hump to have NAFTA, and now it seems so natural. And by the way, in my work, both with the Daily Star, with the Republic, the Arizona Republic, and then with some with Jim, I got to see the benefits of this in Mexico, and I got to see the benefits in the U.S. as well. And for people who think that trade is a zero-sum game, or that somehow we exported jobs to Mexico that and lost them in the U.S., I got news for you. If it weren't for some jobs going to Mexico that, yes, clearly would have been done in Indianapolis, guess where those jobs would have gone? They'd be in Hong Kong or China anyway.
Yes, that's
at
true.
Least people come back and they wind up, the people that we exported the jobs to, at least do some purchasing and some investment here in Pima County or in Maricopa County. So to think somehow that we could create an island state and not have trade abroad was a foolish thing to begin with. And Jim saw that, and he preached and preached, but he wound up, running into colleagues from the Rust Belt who said, oh, no, and they made up false barriers, such as a lot of the union issues, I think, were false. They were just, well, all of a sudden, everybody became worried about Mexican pollution and Mexican truck drivers, doing this and that to our highways and being unsafe. It's amazing what we come up with when our spheres or our economy, our personal economy, might be affected. We create stuff.
Had he been in pretty good health? Jim died of a stroke. He was 80. Had you been in touch with him recently?
In enough touch that we were, that two things. And one, I want to sing his praises. The other one was just happenstance. There was going to be a gathering last Monday, a week from today, at his house.
And really,
there was a plan for staffers. The staffers have all been very close. I was only there for 2.5 years, and there were others that were with him for the entire 22 years that he was a congressman. And actually, and from before then as well, when he was a state legislator that knew him personally. So there was supposed to be a gathering Monday. He let people know personally that he'd had the stroke and that we would be delaying the meeting. Well, that the gathering. it was going to be a post-Thanksgiving get-together that was organized by the staff here that was very devoted to him and had been, as I say, Jim didn't have his own, he didn't have his own children. He did have an adopted child. I don't know what the, whatever came of that. But anyway, he, staff was family and family was staff. And so there was going to be a gathering last Monday at his place. It was, he wrote people to say that he couldn't make it. And then came the subsequent, you know, strokes. But I also want to say this. I just want to say this because this is also a sign of the man shining through. And that was that there's a constituent in Tucson whose name's Tom Tsang. Tom's now in China. And he does the alternative cancer treatment known as the Warburg theory or Warburg method. And Jim had just 2 months ago gone way outside of his normal area of comfort to say that he'd be happy to help host and to appear at a gathering that would address the work that Tom had been doing in China, which is, again, an alternative cancer method that uses insulin. And Jim was marvelous. He looked a little bit frail, but he never let on. He was always... I think his mind carried it. His mind was always moving, and so the body was kind of, in this case, was a little bit on the slow side. But he was as articulate as can be, a little bit hunched over, but as friendly. And, you know, if you went to any event, Jim was always the last person to leave, and you would invariably, anybody that you recognize got this big, warm hug. But if you're asking me, was there any sign at that time that he was weakening? None whatsoever. He always... was a what are we going to do next? And his days were long. And even if Jim didn't feel enthusiasm about something himself, he a lot of times would still look at a constituent or someone else and find that enthusiasm in him to say, well, let's go ahead and do it. He was very encouraging, a very nurturing personality in that way.
All right, we're going to pause right here. More on Jim Colby with Keith Rosenblum. And if folks would like to call in on the live line, any remembrances of Jim, well, we'd be happy to take them. 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
Back with you in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. It's the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Please visit southwestnewmexico.org. Find out about all the great opportunities to recreate, and there's some great places to stay as well. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, southwestnewmexico.org. With us on the Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Keith Rosenblum, who covers the border for us, and Keith does our monthly border report. Today we're talking about Jim Colby. Keith worked as a staffer for Jim from 1999 to 2001. Jim Colby, former member of the United States House of Representatives, served Tucson and Southern Arizona from 1985 to 2007. He died Saturday at the age of 80. Let's go now on the live line. Caller Matt would like to reflect on Jim Colby. Go ahead, Matt.
I just wanted to echo what Keith said and say that, you know, especially with regards to, it seemed like Jim was at every place. I would sometimes laugh at the fact that it seemed like he was literally both in Tucson, Phoenix, and D.C. all at the same time. Because, and then I'll even add to that, because sometimes you'd call him and he'd be overseas in Europe. And he sat on a lot of European defense-related national security boards. I mean, I can't speak to all of them, but the he was not just somebody who was here in Southern Arizona. He was also working, you know, with groups all over the world. I really believe it was unbelievable what Keith shared with us. You know, about his impact on with Bill Clinton on free trade and you know, NAFTA is a very controversial thing today, but at the time it was a spark of hope, you know, to bring the economies here of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, you know, against what was the burgeoning of world trade. And set us up in a framework. We take it for granted today, all that trade that moves between Canada and the United States and Mexico is a behemoth. And they said, you know, I mean, we have problems with NAFTA. It got a bad name, obviously, politically. The American economy and the American workers, truthfully, you know, owe a lot to what Congressman Colby did.
Okay, Keith, certainly Congressman Colby was a citizen of the world. I know he loved New Zealand. Didn't he have a bed and breakfast down there at one point?
I was never privy. I know Jim had investments, and he did own, I don't remember if it was in New Zealand. You probably know this better than I do. But what I want to bring up, and I think this is what's important today, I'm thinking about what I get to pass on to my kids about Jim, who all knew him and all got hugs from him, and who saw the citizen, legislator, just, you know, loving man. And there's two things that occur to me that I think that are important when we talk about legacy, and hopefully for decades more are followed up. Number one is civility. Jim was a civil guy. How he suffered the rudeness and the abruptness of his colleagues within the party, not even on the Democratic side. Jim was battered basically by Tom DeLay and by other of the cruel, the kind of the early breed of the cruel Republicans within his own party. You'll recall or won't recall that at the Bush 2 nominating convention in 2000, the Texas delegation turns its back on him, or a bunch of the members did, because they didn't believe that a openly gay guy should be speaking to them. I mean, the crudeness and the meanness, the mean-spiritedness, this was his party. And you can imagine what Jim ran into day to day. So he wound up being, and this is important to bring up, number one, the civility, the very basic decency of the guy. You could have a conversation with him on any topic, and he wouldn't name call, and he wouldn't, there'd be no slights, there'd be nothing rude. He was a civil man. And that's in large part what explains his renouncing or, you know, denunciation and resignation from the party, whatever it was, roughly a year ago. And the next thing I think that is important to talk about is how people, you pursue things and you wind up being an inadvertent, an accidental soldier for a cause. Being gay was never part of what Jim went off to do in D.C. or in Phoenix either. It was a part of who he was, but he didn't want to be identified as that. And yet he became in his own way, he became a poster child. In his own way, he became a kind of a centerpiece or a focal point for a lot of hatred, a lot of just general nastiness. And he handled it as gracefully as a person could, probably. And the two things will probably end up being combined, the civility and being a reluctant but ultimately triumphant figure in gay rights, because he was able to endure the cruelness of his own party, the cruelness of people in public life. People would call the office and they'd leave messages like this: "Hi, Mr. Rosenblum. Listen, you know, we agree with Mr. Colby on this and this and this, or the representative, but would you just pass on that we don't approve of his lifestyle?" I mean, weird stuff like that all the time.
Gosh.
So how do you, as if you don't have enough problem, you know, doing your job and you got to deal with people, imagine that you take the word gay and change it to black or Asian or something else. Jim had to deal with this. And so I think he could have been, you know, he could have been so much more powerful in his own right and achieved so much more if he hadn't had to constantly fend off the sniper prejudice population of Congressional, was at that time Congressional District 5, but also the cruelness and the pettiness of his own party members in D.C.
Yeah, it's just he's old school, and I wonder if we'll see the likes of someone like a Jim Colby that is willing to work between the aisles or across the aisles.
And I was also, he was very true. This is one of the things I want to say. I often bring this up because it's still, I can still see him. We're driving over to campus, University of Arizona campus. We're going over to give talks. This is, we went over to KUAT and saw you on many occasions.
Oh, yeah.
And I love this because Jim Colby, and this is such an important lesson for everybody who's listening when they talk about how there's government excesses and people who don't care about other people's dollars. Jim Colby clocked his mileage for reimbursement from the United States House of Representatives down to the tenth of a mile.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell me. Is that cool?
Wow.
We're at 14. This trip was 14 miles and 6/10 of a mile. That's what he will be reimbursed by the House. Mm. You know what? My respect. And that wasn't something that he talked about. That's something that Keith noticed while he was traveling. This is one of the most frugal / cheap. We used to laugh in the office that the one line we would never hear from Jim was, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'll pick that up." This was a frugal guy. He was that way with budgets too, but he acknowledged mistakes along the way as well. It was a lot of fun to be in those meetings where he would say, "Damn, I think I got taken on this or on that." And so, you know, you get to be on the appropriations committee where you have Colin Powell and others coming to ask you for money. It's a pretty heady experience, and that takes a lot of, a lot of balance to remember that you owe your allegiance to people in South Tucson, you know, or in Green Valley, yeah, or Douglas, and be dealing with the likes of a Secretary of Defense coming to ask you for money. That's a tough world. It's a hard world to navigate. Can you be immune to that kind of seduction?
Thank you very much, Keith Rosenblum. Very much appreciated. Have a great afternoon, Keith.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Keith and John on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.